Good morning, 809, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Don't look at the scales for like another week. nobody, you don't want to know. You just better off not to know. Pie and turkey and gravy and all the things that make for bad scale outcomes. You just don't want to look at it for another week or so. Joining us now by phone, we've got Chief Deputy Shane Tucker from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, good morning.
Oh, good morning. So first thing, small thing, but I think we can celebrate. How happy is the sheriff's office that it's the end of hurricane season today?
I don't know that there's actually a word in the lexicon to describe how happy we are. We are over it.
Yeah, I think we are all at that point. Absolutely. Anything happen over the weekend or in the last couple of days that we don't already know about?
You know, it's been relatively mundane the last few days. About a week ago, we had an individual in the south end in the Gulf Breeze area try to steal a boat trailer. And when the deputy arrived to intervene, the gentleman started shouting scripture at him and punched the deputy in the chest. So he spent the next few days in jail.
That sounds like an episode of Cops. He started shouting Bible verses at him and then punched the deputy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's...
I can only assume there was a mental illness or an impairment component to that, because that's just not normal behavior.
Yeah, that's not... And also, I mean, not particularly biblical either. I mean, I just, you know... I'm
not at all.
I don't think that's in the scriptures. Okay, wow, all right. I'm always surprised by the unusual thing that people steal. You know, the thing you never thought somebody would take, and then it's kind of like you hear these stories about, like, people getting attacked when they're on a golf course. You know, you just don't think of that as being a vulnerable situation. But, I mean, I guess anything can be stolen and anybody could be attacked theoretically at any time, right?
Any time. You know, you've always got to be on the lookout for that kind of stuff.
Right. That's crazy. Hey, I wanted to ask you, there was an editorial written by Lawrence Keefe, who is the United States Attorney for the Northern District, this large area from us all the way over to, Gainesville, something like that. Anyway, 23 counties. And he wrote an op-ed about the new certification requirements through the FDLE for law enforcement agencies in the Panhandle. And he talked about the sort of six different areas that are new standards or things that, you know, agencies are going to have to measure up on. It's things like use of force, training and de-escalation, obligation to intervene in order to prevent excessive force by another officer. There's a lot of things here. I mean, we could probably talk for an hour or more, I'm sure, about all of this. But one of the ones that kind of caught my attention is it says officers identifying themselves as law enforcement, which I assume has to do with, like, knock and no-knock warrants, which I guess don't get used that much anyway. But then verbal warning of the intent to use deadly force. That... You correct me, but my impression is that deadly force incidents usually happen very rapidly, and the idea that you would have to warn somebody about that prior to doing it, can you maybe just talk about that idea a little bit?
Sure, and you're absolutely spot on. Most instances where an officer uses deadly force is an incredibly fluid situation, and it's usually very, very rapidly evolving. Most of the time, there's probably not going to be an opportunity to give somebody a warning. Our use of force policy already requires that prior to the use of force, if it is possible, to give some kind of warning. But the key is you can't hamstring an officer into requiring a warning when it's just not possible. We've all seen the videos where somebody brandishes a handgun in a split second, and there's just no time to do anything but react. So I haven't seen the op-ed that you're referring to, but I do know, Larry, and I'm certain there's not an insinuation that deadly force will never be utilized without a warning. But most departments are already of the practice that if it's practicable, a warning will be given.
Yeah,
with the understanding that sometimes it may not be possible.
And that makes sense. I'm just thinking about, you know, little things like, you know, keeping a gun with the round chambered ready to shoot instead of having to chamber it. That's a split second activity, but you don't want to have that extra little bit of time between you and putting a bad guy down, just like, you know, and certainly that takes less time than warning somebody. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking about, the very quick timing involved in these situations. But again, you know, it's good to hear that you guys do it if possible. But it's always an if possible rather than a mandatory. I also wanted to ask you one of the ones here, this the scope of the officer duty to intervene to prevent excessive use of force by another officer. Again, I assume there's already part of the officer's duties that are required there. That's if you see your fellow officer doing something illegal, that you have a duty to stop that crime in action. But can you maybe talk about that one a little bit?
Sure. And, you know, that's already enumerated in the standard of ethics for law enforcement officers. You know, we have an obligation to do those things. I suppose what they're referring to is just making sure that that's put into policy. You know, as when you get hired as a deputy sheriff with the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, you have to sign an oath. You have to take an oath, and that oath is you will abide by a code of ethics. And there's a long list of things enumerated that you'll abide by. And one of those things is that you will not tolerate misconduct by, you know, other people or other employees, other deputy sheriffs. So it's really kind of already enumerated, but many agencies probably don't have that enumerated in their policy. So it's really, a lot of this is really just semantics, just spelling out things in policy that we're already doing or we already should be doing.
You know, and when I that's very encouraging to hear. I mean, I know that's true for you guys and our other law enforcement agencies that we talk to all the time. I think what happens is in a lot of people's mind, you know, their picture of police work is what they see on TV. That's the picture they have, you know. And so they imagine somehow that there's all of this nefarious stuff going on as opposed to it being a professional agency that operates according to rules and procedures and has accountability built in. And so, you know, they have this image over here created by the media, and then they have this sort of news stories about things that happen in real life, and they somehow combine that to thinking that, well, everybody's just, you know, doing this zany, crazy, illegal, horrible stuff all the time. Does that impression get in your way in terms of reputationally with people?
I think so. I think that unfortunately a lot of people will watch Chicago PD and think that that's the way law enforcement's done. And certainly I can't speak for other agencies. I can't speak for Chicago PD. You know, but I can tell you that that's not indicative of how professional law enforcement occurs. And, you know, I would point out that it's stereotyping, whether it's law enforcement or whether it's a segment of the community, stereotyping is generally incorrect in the assumption that it's being proffered. And that's what makes it a stereotype, is it's an overgeneralization based on a very, very narrow view of or interpretation of some data, and then you apply that to a larger segment of people. And unfortunately, what actually occurs in law enforcement on a day-to-day basis wouldn't sell TV programs. And all the good cop shows that we all love to watch, you know, it is fiction. It's fiction loosely grounded in reality. But it does. It definitely affects our reputation when people conflate TV with reality.
Oh,
so much of what you see on TV cop shows is just, it's just baseless.
And, you know, that's a great point, is that it wouldn't sell, and that's so true. And I'll go a step farther than you even. I'll say it. It's a bigotry. It's a copism. It's a bigotry that treats all cops as if they are the worst cops you ever see on TV. And all of that is not helpful for a healthy relationship with law enforcement. Well, that's really good to know, and I'll look forward to talking more about this with you and with other folks as we see more details forthcoming from Larry Keefe's office. Chief Deputy Shane Tucker of the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, thanks so much for the time. And as always, thank you so much for what you do for our community. We appreciate you.
All right, we appreciate you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.